At the very end of our census time capsule, we're going to put the family treasures hidden in the... Sorry, ran out of space. That's Evelyn in Waterford. You see, you wouldn't say sorry, ran out of space because they know you're up to something. I would. You just leave it at the family treasures hidden in the... And just, yeah, that, just leave them hanging. Fresh Prince of Hot Air. Whoa! That's Martin in Dublin 8. And did you see the wonderful performance by Brenda Fricker on Holding last night? I did, Ger. She plays Mrs. Meaney in Holding. I've good news on Holding for you somewhere. Where have I got it there? Because we were talking about it a lot recently, and it's on ITV, and a lot of people can't get ITV, but it was announced yesterday that there's a new channel called Virgin Media More, and it's going to air on Channel 100 from Tuesday, April 12th. And it's going to have Holding there. So if you're a Virgin Media customer, you will be able to see Holding from April 12th if you haven't seen it already. But last night, yes, and Brenda had mentioned this to us when we were with her on Friday, that she has a big spake in last night's episode of Holding. So I tuned in and I watched it, and she undersold it, because it was nearly a full part of Brenda sitting down and she was talking for the whole lot. And she told us that it was one of the reasons she took on the role as Mrs. Meaney in Holding was to prove to herself that at 77 she could still learn that chunk of script. And she did, and she did it brilliantly. And it was riveting stuff. And so much so that I had to send her a text this morning to say how well she did. Not that she needs affirmation from me in any way, shape or form. Now, today is March 29th. And did you know that the last days of March and the first days of April are known in Irish folklore as Leinte na Bó Rivi, the days of the brindled cow? Dr. Mairtín McCumera is a senior lecturer in the School of Culinary Arts and Food Technology at Technological University Dublin. We've spoken to him before, and he's on the line to explain to us. Well, actually, he's down the corridor to explain to us about Leinte na Bó Rivi and the brindled cow. Hello, Mairtín.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Not at all.
We're still in COVID world here in RTE, and the rest of the world doesn't seem to be, but we are. So that's why you're down there. So sorry about that. We'll see you in the flesh soon. So Leinte na Bó Rivi, and a Bó Rivi is a brindled cow, is it? So what's a brindled cow?
Well, another name for a brindled cow would be a speckled cow. You know,
right.
So it's just to do with the pattern of of the cow. But the Bó Riamhach itself, the story of the Bó Riamhach, goes back in Irish folklore, and it really shows us how the tales of folklore can actually help us understand nature and the patterns of nature and how our ancestors really lived within nature and within the seasons.
Mm.
And originally, now I don't want to be a spoiler on your question for your quiz, but originally there was only 30 days in March. Right? And this particular Bó Riamhach, or the speckled cow, or the brindled cow, was making it all the way through and had reached the 30th day and was so excited that it was going to make it into April that it was sort of bet March that it was going to, was sort of boasting that it was going to make it into April.
And because March was what? The end in winter, or was it?
You have to remember that, at this time of year, cattle long ago, would have been, a certain amount of cattle would have been killed around Martinmas, which is the 11th of March, and they would have been set down for winter and salted and all that sort of stuff, because you couldn't keep all the cattle because you didn't have enough fodder for them. So by the time March was coming, you'd nearly run out of fodder, and you were looking for, at the beginning of April, you have fresh grass growing, and if you make it into April, you get fresh grass,
right.
And suddenly those animals who have wintered successfully will flourish.
Yes.
But anyway, this cow was boasting, to right. March that it was going to make it into April. And of course, what did March do? But March spoke with April, borrowed a day from April. So that's why we got 31 days
right.
into March. And on that particular day, it was so cold that the cold weather on that particular day, the end of March, killed off the poor speckled cow,
Right. Well, that serves him right for boasting. Oddly, because we've enjoyed such good weather and they're still enjoying it around the country, as there were pains to point out to me there. But the forecast for the next few days is it's going to turn, and we're going to get a northern wind, which will bring cold air down. And they're saying in some places there might be snow by the end of the week. So this is your Leinte Nabor Eva, isn't it, in reality?
It is totally. Like, again, it was my uncle, my late uncle Michael, he passed away there around 5 or 6 weeks ago, who first told me this story, you know what I mean? And I've been watching it ever since, and you could nearly set your clock by it, you know? And even as I was writing the piece there in the last few days, I was sort of looking at the beautiful weather outside, and I was also looking at the forecast, and I was suddenly seeing that come Friday or Saturday, that was -1 was being forecasted as a low and all this sort of stuff, you know? But the other person I need to talk, mention here is Professor Shane Seamus Caulfield, because Seamus, you know, again, was a professor of archaeology in UCD for many years, and he's, you know, famous for the, you know, discovering the Cage of Fields, even though, again, it was his father who discovered the Cage of Fields originally. But I've been bringing my students, I set up a master's in gastronomy and food studies in TU Dublin 5 years ago, and since we set it up, I've been bringing my students down to Belderick and down to the Cage of Fields every January, and who was a Seamus and his son Declan, they've been looking after us really well. But Seamus has been filling us up, like giving us all of the local folklore of the area. And this is one of the stories he was telling. He was able to tell us that it wasn't just that the 1st of April was important because of the cold weather, but he was saying that those really warm days before the 1st of April, as kids, they would love to throw off their shoes, but they weren't allowed. They were told you cannot cast off your shoes until the 1st of April because there's cold weather coming.
Right.
And sure enough, the minute 1st of April came, the boys, they would, or all of them, now this is down the countryside, I say, not in the cities, but this is in the countryside, they used to cast off their shoes. They used to call them sort of two anchors that were holding them down, and they used to really engage with the texture of the landscape, and just, they felt completely liberated, and they wouldn't put them on until the 1st of October, except when they had to go into church on the Sunday.
It's like me with my shorts. Because I was out in my shorts this morning. It was nippy enough. But I think I'm going to defy any cold weather we get and just keep wearing them until October.
You have to keep faith, you know what I mean?
Now, here's the thing, because we would have thought barefoot was a sign of poverty. But you're saying something different.
Yeah, because down the country, I say it may have been a sign of poverty in the cities as such, but down the country, it was just that idea. Kids always, and even young kids, we always love to go around barefoot if we can, you know. But Seamus explained that, you know, that you really engage with the landscape completely different, he says, when you're barefoot as opposed to when you have feet. Actually, there's a proverb, you know, you're talking about unshut earlier on there now, you know what I mean? But there's a saying in Irish, is cumann le fearn na mbróg cá leagann sé a chus, you know what I mean? The man with the shoes doesn't care where he puts his foot, you know, and you could use that with Putin today, maybe, you know, and those in powerful don't care who they stand on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea about when you're barefoot, you understand whether something is cold or hot, whether it's wet or dry, whether it's rough or soft.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And also you can actually tell the nuance between the sort of coldness of, say, a stream that's coming directly from a source, which would be 1 or 2 degrees colder than a stream that's just coming off the mountain as such. Do you know?
And of course, our feet are designed physiologically to feel around, you know, because that's why we have so many bones and so many nerve receptors in our feet. They feel around before we actually engage with wherever we're, you know, whether it be a rock or water or grass or whatever.
As they say, I'm going to dip my toe in here.
I don't know if you do it, but I've been recommending it for years. If you can get a good bit of grass, and I'm lucky enough to live close to UCD, but when I get a chance, I take off the runners and run around the pitches on the grass. And there is something, I don't use the word spiritual, but there's something brilliant about it, because you do feel in touch with nature. It feels like you're running on air, although you're running on grass. You can run faster. There's just something very special about it.
Absolutely. No, and just being in touch with nature, and you're sure people are talking all about that, about the, what do they call this, forest bathing or something?
Yes,
this idea about just being in touch with nature, and you know, that idea about presentism, you know what I mean, that it's so good for you. It's funny, Seamus had a story that, you know, on the 10th of April when he was a child, a terrible snow came. You know, talk about these early April bad weather, like snow came. And he remembers going to school barefoot in the snow, you know. Now, he didn't have to go too long because his father was the principal and the school teacher, and they literally lived around the corner. But he said he went through six inches of snow. But there's another saying in Irish that about, and this is how I feel about Seamus Caulfield, and it means that, it says, Hassing Shishnachta Egeistachlesh, as in, I would stand in the snow listening to him, because he's just amazing. And I think, you know, we really need to sort of share these stories and these traditions and this folklore with the next generation, so that so that it carries on.
And I get a sense from you, Martine, that you're learning. We sort of poo-poo them a bit in what do they know, and we're more enlightened now. But they, in a lot of ways, were more connected with the soil and the earth and nature than we are. Of course they were. Yeah, that's a truism, really, isn't it?
Listen, Ray, the more we learn, the more we realise that we haven't a clue, you know. Yes. What I mean? And that actually our ancestors really were tuned in. Like, medicinally, our ancestor knew every herb, every plant, and what it did for us. And basically what happened is the pharmaceutical companies have
Our ancestors couldn't cure cancer now, in fairness.
Listen, that's fair enough. But something, I was down at a workshop there in Achill Island around 3 weeks ago, and there was a wonderful talk by Eamon Slater from Maynooth University about biodynomes in the soil. Hmm. And the following day, we did a tour of the deserted village in Achill, and they're showing us how those cultivated beds, you know, what they call lazy beds, but they're cultivated beds, how the way they cultivated them actually kept the natural biodynamics and biotics in the soil,
yeah.
Which actually created much healthier food.
Yes, well, I'll give you that one, because the microbiome which exists in our gut, a lot of the cutting edge research around human health is to do with that, and getting diversity into that, and you know, so I'll give you that one.
And effectively, our ancestors were doing what's all involved now is this idea of horticulture. You know what I mean?
Those years ago. So there you go. Listen, Martin, it's always hugely interesting talking to you. Thanks so much for filling us in on the Brindle